Macca told me once that the so-called Green Tsunami started in Amsterdam, the Jamaica of Europe, in the 90s. Apparently, a guy called Bernard discovered that this powerful new strain, skunk, grew really well indoors under artificial light. Forget Holland, forget Jamaica, Britain's in bloom. Police found 7,800 cannabis factories last year. 3 million of us use it regularly. One in three young men. It's big business. $4 billion a year. Bigger than the market for heroin, cocaine and crack combined. And it's dangerous. I don't mean because you're seven times more likely to develop psychosis, which you are. I mean an illegal industry on that scale, with profits on that scale, will always endanger people. Right, so, back to square one. The victim, temporarily named Strangled Man, because we've so far failed to identify him in spite of his distinctive teeth and a missing finger, age approximately 35, southeast Asian in appearance, strangled efficiently with a ligature, possibly cable, no fibres, we don't know who by, we don't know where or why, we don't know where he lived, what the hell do we know?
He was involved with a cannabis factory at One Hopewell Grove.
One Hopewell Grove.
Where we believe he installed the wiring.
Badly. It blew, causing the crop to fail.
We also had an experienced drugs officer tell us the factory was set up really well, so let's not assume he was incompetent. His finger marks were all over the house, suggesting he was more involved than simply an electrician. What else do we know about him?
We know he regularly bought scratch cards.
Why would he do that?
Well, you want a windfall. You want money.
You believe you might get lucky. You believe in luck.
Or you need to believe in luck because your situation is desperate. Like the shrine at the house. Offerings for protection and good fortune. Good fortune's only pressingly on your mind if you're experiencing bad fortune, I would say.
He bought these scratch cards regularly from two different newsagents. One close to Hopewell Grove.
Which we understand.
And one in Belfield.
What else do we have to lead us there?
A chemist receipt found in the house.
Right, what do we know about his associates?
It looks like there's a young woman who...
could be the only person who can tell us what went on in that house and why Strangled Man was killed. So why are we still waiting for an answer on that photo?
I'm waiting for the neighbour to ring.
Don't wait for the neighbour, make it happen. We need to identify this young woman.
Okay. What the neighbour, Marie, has told us so far is she saw this young woman visit the house regularly, apparently to deliver food.
Who to?
To, we believe, two miners who, we believe, were being used as gardeners.
And we also don't know who or where they are.
Well, they could have been moved somewhere else. They could have run away.
They were locked in. I think moved is more like.
To another factory, maybe. I mean, there's no point in staying on their house with a dead crop.
Maybe Strangled Man was killed because the crop died. His wiring blew, which cut the lights, which killed the crop. Someone higher up the chain is going to lose a lot of money.
And whoever that is seems to go in for cutting people's fingers off, so I won't get on the wrong side of him.
How many people to run a factory? The gardeners, the handyman, the housekeeper, what else? What happens when that crop's ready?
You need a driver. You need a van.
So, we're looking for places and we're looking for people. I want to concentrate on the people. Strangled Man was murdered. Be nice to get to the bottom of that. But the one thing he's got going for him is out of danger. There's two miners out there somewhere who've already been imprisoned and forced to sleep in a cupboard, so I shudder to think how they're faring. There's a young male out there somewhere with his finger cut off, and there's this young woman who seems to be part of this system that's fallen apart. I reckon... all of them have been treated callously, possibly by a dead Strangled Man, but he was probably only following orders, and I reckon all of them are now at risk of further cruel and callous treatment, which is not on ever. You can't treat people like that, so... I saw Terry flick with Tendy a look. What's up with her? Nothing's up with me, Terry. I'm absolutely fine. I wasn't fine. I was strung out, jumpy and raw. Furious with myself for ringing Macca after he called things off and leaving a drunken message at 3 in the morning. He hadn't phoned back. Surprise, surprise. My face burned every time I thought about it.
The person you are calling is unable to take your call. Please leave your message after the tone.
It's one thing not to pick up your phone at 3 in the morning. But midday? I know Macca. He'll have been for his swim. He'll have discussed potatoes with the woman in the market. He'll have swept the floor of his uncluttered room. He'll be sitting in his chair and reading. That's what he does. He reads everything. He reads the papers, he reads books, he reads the great big books you're meant to read. He's read War and Peace twice. I don't want to stop going to Macca's place. I don't want to stop getting my skin next to his. I do not want this to be over. Hiya, Macca. I'm sorry about the message you woke up to this morning. Please ignore it. I shouldn't have left it. I do understand where you were coming from last night, actually. I'm okay with it. I just wasn't expecting it. So, sorry I splurged. Delete and forget. See ya. A well-executed lie can be quite soothing.
Boss, just spoken to Marie. She says this is the girl she saw coming in and out of the house.
A heart-shaped face, a shy smile, long dark hair.
Was she sure?
She didn't hesitate.
Fantastic. So, we need a name and we need an address. Ask Marie for the date of her appointment, when she saw this girl in the nail bar, and let's trawl through the CCTV for that day outside the shop, see if we can see where she went. I'll go back in there.
OK.
I'd also like to know where these photos were taken. These women are not the same kind of women as are working in the nail bar. These are a lot younger and they're dressed to please, and it looks to me like they're smiling on demand. They're all young and conventionally attractive, which makes them highly...
marketable.
Exactly. Everything we've come across so far seems profit-driven, so you've got to ask yourself, where are these girls being put to work?
Mary mentioned hostess lounges.
Did she? Right, well... let's start with the nail bar.
Pick a colour. Pick a colour.
I can't decide. She'd join me at the rack of polishes, as I hoped she would, away from the other women by the wall with the photo display.
Pink one? Blue? Blueberry popular? Blue unfit?
Right, bit bright, that one. She was happy to talk about the girls in the photo at first. Yes, they were pretty. Yes, they were nice. I pointed to the heart-shaped doll face Marie had identified. Do you know this girl?
Pretty girl.
Very. Do you know her name?
Many girl, many name.
A friend of mine saw this girl in here. She blinked a little. She used to work here. She blinked a little more. I want to know her name because I want to help her. I turned my back to the shop and showed her my ID. I'm not immigration. I'm not UK border agency. I just want her to be safe. Will you tell me her name?
This one knife for you.
I thought she might change her mind, but she didn't. So I had a pedicure I didn't want and got my toes painted a nasty shade of bruise. I refused to sit with my feet in the drying thing because I'd already wasted half an hour. No, no, that's fine. Keep the change.
Thank you. Receipt, why?
Oh, ta. She gave my fingers a pinch as I took it. I slipped it in my pocket as if it was of no importance. I sat in the car and held it unfolded, willing it to contain a name. I could feel my toes gluing themselves to my shoes. Three words. La to you, Hu Yin. La thu hi. I had no idea. The rest of the afternoon, everything went fast. Cogs clicked, pennies dropped. I managed to forget Macca for minutes at a time. Andy B. Witende pointed at the photo with his pen tip.
I think it's Candy Bar. Seen this one? Behind the girls?
There was a squiggle of neon on a wall behind the girls, mostly obscured by their heads.
There's a candy bar on Castle Street. Hostess lounge.
Well, you and Terry better go. Have a drink. Talk to the girls. Don't be policey. Light as a feather. Mm.
Was it a name?
Still waiting. Waiting for the phone to ring. Waiting. Waiting for Macca.
DSAC Raven.
Hello, ma'am. This is Sergeant 264 Alessi from P Division Response Team.
Hello there.
I think we might have found something of interest to you.
We'd asked P Division to look out for us. We told them we suspected there was a cannabis factory in their area, somewhere near where the newsagent was, where Strangled Man bought his scratch cards, somewhere near the chemist where the receipt we'd found in the house was from, a receipt for lint dressing and antiseptic.
Actually, I say we found it, but a member of the public rang in.
Saying what?
Just seen a guy running out of a house on Ketterick Road bleeding.
Right.
Got to the property just after 1 a.m, got in the door, Sherwood Forest, day of the Triffids, major cannabis factory, dead lad, with a hammer in his head lying under the skylight. This Chinese lad darts out of nowhere, makes a break for it and goes tearing down the street. No shoes, tearing down the street in his bare feet.
Did you get him?
Oh yeah, he's here.
Have you spoken to him?
Doesn't speak a word. He's Vietnamese, sorry, not Chinese. We're trying to track down an interpreter.
Will you let me try? Give me 20 minutes. It must have sounded like I had a plan because he agreed. I had no plan. I had a phone. All I knew was if this boy was part of Strangleman's world and knew things about Strangleman's murder and our first interview with him was cack-handed, we'd waste the one chance we'd been given. I was scrolling through numbers looking for inspiration.
DCI Craven.
Good afternoon. This is Anna Miley, Language Line. Your query was passed on to me. Yes, it's a name, a female name. Vietnamese is pronounced La Thu Huynh.
La Thu Huynh.
That's correct. But we order names differently. Family name, then middle name, then given name. So what's your full name?
It's Susan Louise Craven.
Oh, so in Vietnam, that would be Craven Louise Susan.
Ah, got it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Is there anything else I can help you with?
Do you mean that?
Afterwards, I rang Terry.
La Tu Huynh. Ask the girls if they know a La Tu Huynh.
I'd love to, but unfortunately, we've just been asked by the management to leave the candy bar.
Why?
You can't ask questions. The girls can ask you anything, and they do. But as soon as you go anywhere near anything, where do you live, do you like your job, who are your friends, they just shut down. And they're all pretty shut down anyway, fiddling with the phones, waiting for the rush hour. I'll tell you what, it's one of the most depressing places I've ever been. Pathetic men and zombie girls. It's soul-destroying for all concerned.
But did you manage to show the photo to anyone?
Yeah. Directly before we were asked to leave. Just got a shrug.
A credible shrug?
No.
Okay, I need you and Mutende at a property on Ketterick Road in Belfield.
The boy who'd run barefoot down the street had something in common with Strangled Man. He was missing half his right index finger. It was bound with a lint dressing. Dirty now, but deftly done. Too neat to have been done by a right-handed person with his own left hand. He was sitting in the soft interview room at P Division with Anna Miley, the interpreter. I watched him on the monitor. Even without understanding a word they were saying, I could hear in the tune of Anna's tact and the boy's terror. When they took a break, Anna watched a playback with me.
A date, as we agreed, very gentle. First of all, I just asked him, what's your name?
Mm-hmm.
His name is Zheng Men Do, so we call him Do.
Oh.
I said to him, before I ask you anything about today, Do, I want to ask about your story. And he said to me, please, can you tell me where I am? I said, where do you think you are? He said, am I in England? I said, yes, you are. Where in England do you think you are? He said, I think I'm in London.
Do you believe that?
Yes, I do. He's been trafficked from Vietnam. He's seen nothing but the inside of planes and rooms and vans for the past 4 months.
When was he trafficked?
He doesn't know how long he's been here, but he says the journey took 4 months. His brother broke his leg last year. His family couldn't afford the hospital and treatment. They got into debt, so they agreed with a travel agent that Dot would come and work in the UK, in the shop, to send money home. So his parents signed the agreement.
On the monitor, as he talked, Do was pressing his thumb on the table.
Why is he doing that?
Well, that's how they signed the farm over to the travel agent as security against the trafficking costs.
With the thumbprint?
Yes.
Okay.
If you're illiterate, anyone can cheat you. The deal was, once Do pay back the travel costs to the traffickers, he would start to send money home. He hasn't seen a penny. Most of them never do. Debt bondage.
How old is he?
He said he's 15.
He's not, is he?
No.
Do had pot marks on his face from acne that had long since cleared.
He looks 18, at least.
If he's 18, we'll send him home. If he's under 18, we'll take him into care. He will know that.
And why doesn't he want to go home?
Because he's failed his family.
Where are his papers?
Destroyed.
He'd been unloaded from a lorry at Dover and put in a van. He'd been taken to a house, not in London as he believed, in Belfield. He'd said, what are these plants? He had no idea. He was told if he left the house, the police would catch him. Food was dropped off twice a week. That was his life till two lads came through the skylight. Now he was in custody on suspicion of manslaughter. I searched it. Estimated number of slaves in world today. First result was clearly wrong, so I kept on searching, but I kept on getting the same number, 27 million. It's not legal anywhere, but it's thriving everywhere.